Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope you enjoyed a blessed Christmas yesterday. Christmas Day fell on the Lord's Day this year, which makes the heart rejoice. As we move forward through the end of this year and into 2023, I would like to take us back into the God Is archives and let you hear for the first time, or for the second time, the teaching I gave in Genesis chapter 3, specifically verses 14 through 19. And there are reasons for this. Let me share a few with you. The method to my madness, if you please. As you know, if you've been tracking with us in early 2023, we will be going back to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 through 30 to look in depth at God's golden chain of salvation, what is known as the order of salvation. I am very much looking forward to this. Well, this series in Genesis 3 is a good lead-in to our discussion on how God saves us from our sin. In these six verses of Genesis 3 that we will begin to look at in a moment, we will find God's perspective on sin at the beginning. We will read about God's judgment on the sin of Satan, Adam, and Eve. We will also uncover the beginning, the root of the promise of the gospel, and much, much more. This will then set us up nicely for our return to Romans 8 and the specific way God sets the good news of the gospel in motion in our lives. As we understand the depths of our sin, then we can better understand the depths of God's mercy and grace towards us. This is how I see Genesis 3 verses 14 through 19 connecting to Romans 8 verses 28 through 30. Furthermore, like for some of you, I have several commitments coming up in this new year, and this includes time I need to prepare for the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Therefore, it is valuable for me to use some of the downtime around the holidays of Christmas and New Year's to prayerfully and quietly reflect and to study. So by reaching back into the archives of broadcasts and podcasts available on our website, by airing these again, this helps me to preserve and manage my time as I ready myself to share with you all the insights God has given me in His Word for Romans 8 and beyond. And so with that in mind, let's begin. You should know that all of Genesis chapter 3 has been covered here on God Is. In the coming weeks, we will jump into the middle of the chapter at verse 14, and we will cover verses 14 through 19. If you want to hear what comes before and after these verses, just go to our website and right on the homepage, you can scroll down and find the entire series in Genesis chapter 3. I give comment to all 24 verses. And our website address is godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. In my view, Genesis 3 is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible. And if you want to make the case it is the most important, I will not disagree. That means we should be attentive, move slowly, thoroughly, investigating what God says, and be open and ready to have this applied to our lives. The truth is, Holy God packs in a lot of rich content into just a few pages and these concise verses. The truth is also that what is here impacts the rest of Scripture. To understand the Bible, we must all understand the first few chapters of the Genesis. The beginning affects the middle and the end. Let me read from Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19. This is the word of God to our minds and hearts this day in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman God said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam God said, Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. As we read through these six verses, there emerges at least one of the attributes of God. Something stands out here that speaks to the nature and the character of who God is, and that is the justice of God. God's justice is on display very early in the Bible. Let's talk about this. And to do so, I want to follow the sound teaching, what is, in my view, the correct theology of the Puritan preacher and writer Thomas Watson. I often access his clearly written book, A Body of Divinity. Watson writes cogently on the justice of God, and he soaks his text in Scripture, which I love. We will hear from him some this week. And to the question, what is the justice of God? Watson says, Justice is to give everyone his due. Justice is to give everyone his due. In other words, justice gives to everyone what is deserved. If I do X, then I deserve what is commensurate with having done X. I get what I deserve. I get what is due me. And we have a biblical example of this right here in verses 14 through 19. Let me show you what I mean. Back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, God gave the man and the woman a clear law. Let's remind ourselves what the law, what the command is. In Genesis 2:17, God says, But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. There it is. It's very clearly stated. But then Adam and Eve broke God's law. They disobeyed his clear command, and so now God exercises his justice by punishing the man and the woman, giving them what they deserve, giving them their due. I read that to you in verses 16 through 19 of the text. God gives his law, people break the law, and now people are punished justly according to the law that has been broken. In the New Testament epistle of Romans, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, Where there is no law, there also is no violation. That's Romans 4, verse 15, the second part of the verse. The apostle's point is God's punishment is just because God punishes by a law that has been broken. Had there been no law, there would be no violation and therefore no punishment. But there is God's law, and when we violate it, we are punished. This is pretty amazing about the Lord God, if you ask me. The justice of God is perfect. There is never any flaw in what he does. Check this out, written by Thomas Watson, quote, God is just in punishing the wicked because he never punished them but upon full proof and evidence. What greater evidence than for a man's own conscience to be a witness against him? There is nothing God charges upon a sinner but conscience sets its seal to the truth of it. End quote. Now that's not only well written but also true. God elicits the truth from Adam and Eve. They both admitted to eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Each of them said, I ate. Adam in verse 12 and Eve in verse 13 of Genesis 3. So now God has proof and evidence of how they have broken his law. This is weighing on the conscience of Adam and Eve, hence the sewing together of the fig leaves and the hiding from God. Conscience has suddenly sealed its truth in them, and here now before them is their just God speaking out his words of punishment, dispensing with his justice. There is a loud cry today for justice. Legitimately so, there is a desire for justice. But I do not sense the kind of justice people have in mind is God's justice. What the culture cries out for is a kind of justice we create for ourselves. After all, the Lord is not welcome in his world anymore. So we set out to right our wrongs without him? Big mistake. There is no perfect justice without the only just judge, and he is God. And so by resisting him, ignoring him, and trying to at least silence him, we are doomed. No nation can continue to exist on a man-made, quote-unquote, justice system. We have no idea the depths of our injustice, nor the heights of God's justice. Let me just say that again. I believe we have no idea the depths of our injustice, nor the heights of God's justice. So tomorrow we will continue to discuss the justice of God here in this portion of Genesis chapter 3. What will be helpful for you to do is to read all of Genesis 3 tonight. Will you do that in preparation for next time? Read the 24 verses in Genesis chapter 3. I hope you'll do that. And we're off on our journey as we end this year and, Lord willing, soon begin another. So please plan to be with us as we continue to discover in Genesis chapter 3 and just these few verses who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.